Good morning. I'll try to remember not to walk from behind this pulpit. I forgot to put my microphone on this morning. So if you get to where you can't hear me, just wave me and tell me to go back here again. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Good to see Kyle and Naomi and Jackson, Mary Beth, and see if there's any other faces. You know, that's one of the things I like about the holidays. Our kids grow up and they go away, as they should, and then they come back during the holidays and we get to have a holiday meal together and explore the line between feasting and gluttony and some of those other sorts of things. But I want to take a look at the 100th Psalm this morning, if you would. So go ahead and turn to the 100th Psalm. This is a psalm that you could call a Thanksgiving psalm, and it reminds us that Thanksgiving Day is not the only time that we give thanks. In fact, as we look at these words, you may recognize them. They're used in a number of different songs. I remember when I was a student in a York College a cappella chorus, there was actually a song that we sang that used these words. And so let's go ahead and read the 100th Psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people, His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now this psalm reminds us of some of the things that God has done. It reminds us that He is God. It reminds us that He is the one that made us, not ourselves or any other random biological process, but we have been designed by God. It reminds us that we are His people. It reminds us that He is good and His loving kindness. Maybe your Bible might say His love endures forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. You know, it's one of those words that's hard to find a single English word to translate. But it means something like covenant love and covenant loyalty. And so it reminds us that God is faithful. That God is faithful to us and He's loyal to us. And He will not let us down. And then it tells us how we respond. Look at all of the verbs in this psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. There are at least seven verbs in this psalm. Now don't worry, I'm not going to preach a seven-point sermon, okay? I'm going to kind of draw some of these together and draw some of the lessons that we can be reminded of as we look at this psalm this morning. How we respond with God, to God, with thanksgiving. We respond, first of all, with joy. The text says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Some Bibles, I think, say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Some paraphrases may say, make some noise, because there is something for us to be joyful about. And I'm not sure exactly what this would have looked like back in those days. Was it kind of like the Braveheart kind of shout? Or is it sort of the cheering in a victory parade? Whatever it is, it's noise that's made in response to what God has done for us. And we see this all throughout the Psalms. Look at this one. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Or this one. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Or this one, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Clap your hands, all people, shout to God with the voice of joy. Or what about this one? Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. The sound of joyful singing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Or this one. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Or this one. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. And so, and we could go on and on and on. Basically, what all of this is saying is express your joy to the Lord. The Lord has done great things for you. The Lord still does great things for you. And so this is a cause to rejoice. Now, why do we express this joy? Now, keep in mind now, we're not talking about a shallow, manufactured sort of thing, okay? You know, you can go to an amusement park and there's a lot of joy going on there, right? A lot of fun. You ever thought about what the word amuse means? When you muse, what do? You think about something and you concentrate on it, you meditate on it. When you muse on something, when you amuse, we're talking about something that's done without thinking. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a response to the things that God has done for us. And we respond with joy. Why? It is becoming. That the 33rd Psalm begins with, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Now, you know what it means to be becoming, right? Becoming, I mean, you could say it is appropriate. You can say it is fitting. You can say it is attractive. When someone is becoming, it is attractive. In other words, this is attractive. God is pleased. It's kind of like, you know, when you do something for your children and they come to you and they respond with thanksgiving and cheers. I mean, that's something that you enjoy, right? Imagine how God enjoys our praise to Him. Now, if you give something and they kind of, you know, sort of, oh yeah, well, that's really great. That's not as enjoyable as when they sing praises to you, right? Or what about this one? It is strengthening. You know, back in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says this. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, taught the people and said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God, so do not mourn and weep. All the people, they had gathered together, they hadn't heard the word in a long time, they'd come back from captivity, and now Ezra is standing on a podium and he's reading God's word to the people. And it says that all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't weep. This is a holy day. We've been brought back and we've been reunited with God and we're given a second chance, so don't weep. Feast. And share with those people who have nothing. Come together. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so not only is it becoming, it is strengthening. So don't buy into the stereotype that somehow Christians are supposed to walk around sad and guilty feeling all the time. That's not who we are. You know, it reminds me of a song that I learned several years ago. Anyone ever heard the song Ain't No Rock? Anyone knows that song? Ain't No Rock, Ain't No Rock. Gonna cry in my place, as long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. I don't know if any of you know that song, but I learned it. Okay, Mary Beth knows it, and Jackson knows it. Okay, and you guys know it. And, you know, first time I heard that song was several years ago at a camp, and I heard the words of the song. I thought, that's interesting. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. The second verse is, no tree's gonna spread its branches in my place. No bird is going to sing in my place. And then I learned it was actually from this passage in Luke chapter 19. Do you remember when Jesus was coming into the city and the people were shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the Pharisees were telling Jesus, stop them. And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, then the rocks are going to cry out. And what that song is basically saying, I'm not going to sit here and not praise my God and have the rocks cry out in my place. And I pictured in my mind what that must look like. You know, I kind of got a cartoon vision in my head about, you know, a human being created in the image of God just sitting there. Then all of a sudden, the rocks begin to do their thing and cry out. And then the trees and the bushes and even the dirt crying out to God. And why not the human being who has been not only created in the image of God, but the human being who has been redeemed by the very best that God could give? And so I'm not going to let somebody else sit in my place and praise God. All right, so we respond with joy, with thanksgiving, with singing, with praise and worship. And that brings us to the next point. We respond also with service. The psalmist says to serve the Lord with gladness. Do you realize that service and worship go hand in hand, that the two things are actually inseparable? Consider this passage from Hebrews 13. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is a fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And that's exactly what we've done, right? We've put our voices together and we praise God, but notice what it goes on to say, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You see, there's two kinds of sacrifices here. There's the fruit of our lips, and then there is the good deeds that we do in the name of Christ. And so our worship and our service isn't limited to what we do here at the building. That's why this passage says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your, what's that phrase? Spiritual service of worship. Sometimes some Bibles say reasonable service. Do you realize that entire phrase is one word in Greek? The word is, I won't tell you the word because you won't remember, but the word refers to what you do when you go to a sanctuary and worship. And so if you were someone that lit candles, or someone that officiated at the altar, or someone that burned incense, or someone that maybe led a prayer or did something like that, then you engaged in this word, this spiritual service of worship. And now what this is saying is that the service that you do in the sanctuary is not limited to the sanctuary. Offer your body a living and holy sacrifice. Your worship goes beyond what we do when we come to here at the building. You know, and that's something that made Christianity so much different than everything else. A lot of other religions, well, they will go and do their worship at the temple, but the Bible doesn't say that we go to a temple, right? You know, people thought Christians were strange because Christians didn't have temples. And we still don't have, actually we do have a temple. What is a temple? It's us, right? And so the temple actually goes out and worships God by serving other people. And so we are His temple, and our worship and service is not limited to what we do here, but it's what we do when we do good deeds to other people. And so much of what we do is service and worship to God, and sometimes we forget about that. Think about some of the things that we do, whether we're giving food out to people, or whether we send gifts to people in the name of Christ, whether we feed people, or the new homeless shelter that's being organized here in Leavenworth. You know, I didn't realize we had a homeless problem here in Leavenworth, but a group of Christians have come together to try and see what we can do in order to help with that issue in this community. And it's done in the name of Christ. In His faithfulness, our Lord came as a servant, right? He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so that's exactly what we do. He's done all that He can for us and gave the very best for us. And so our response is joy and worship and also service. Our response is not mourning. Our response is not guilt. Our response is not to beat ourselves up. One of the things I think we need to remind ourselves of is what this is. This is not an altar, okay? I know it looks like one. Most people, when they build tables for communion, they build them to look like an altar, but we don't call it that, right? We call it the Lord's what? Table. What do you do at a table? You fellowship together. You share together. And that's what we're doing. We're invited to His table. The altar, the sacrifice has already been accomplished at the cross. And so that's in the past. And now because of that sacrifice, we can fellowship together with the Lord. And so this is not a time of mourning, but this is a time of joy. This is a time to remember what He has done for us, and this is a time for us to remember what we do for Him and for one another as well. That should move us to serve in His name, to serve other people. Our response is joy and worship and service in His name. And finally, we respond by blessing His name. You know, the psalmist says here, to bless His name. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean to bless something? What is the opposite of a blessing? It's a curse, right? And we know that if we are blessed by the Lord and we have the Lord's blessing, what does that mean? It usually means health. It usually means things go pretty well for us. That's usually what it means. And that's the way it's often used in Scripture. If you have the Lord's blessing, then your crops are going to go good. You're going to have healthy children. You yourself are going to be healthy. And things are going to go quite well with you. But if you are cursed, it's just the opposite. And so we want to know what it means to have the Lord's blessing, but what does it mean for us to bless God? I went ahead and looked up this word. I was just kind of curious. And the word can mean to speak well of or to praise. Okay, that's Hebrew. It's interesting when I looked up the Greek word is eulogeo. Sounds kind of like eulogy, doesn't it? And in fact, I think that's where the word probably comes from. And when we talk about eulogizing somebody, we usually do what? We speak well of them. But we, as Christians, don't wait till people are gone. And we don't just eulogize people, but we especially eulogize our living God and all the things that He's done for us. Look at some of these passages. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall do what? You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. And so that has the idea of thanking God and giving Him the credit and the glory. Or what about this one? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's both lines are saying basically the same thing. When I bless the Lord, then I'm praising the Lord. What about this one? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and do what? Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings. You know what that word, that phrase is in the New Testament? The word is gospel. Good news. The things that God has done for us. Proclaim the good things that He's done for us. Of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations. His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And so blessing the Lord is like saying God is good. And what do you say next? All the time, right? God is good all the time. And so we bless the name of God. Whether we're talking about glorifying Him or exalting His name, magnifying His name, giving thanks to His name, praising His name, telling of His works, proclaiming His excellencies. All of this is to bless the name of God. And there's many ways that we do that as we go throughout the day. When we remind people that God is good, when we share with other people how God has answered our prayers, you know what? I really appreciate when you do that. I know we pray for each other often and we share a prayer request, but I especially appreciate it when you also share with us how God has answered your prayers so that we can bless His name. When we tell other people of Christ and what He's done for you in your life, worshiping God and thanking God with all your heart, blessing the name of the Lord. So don't hesitate to bless the name of the Lord. If you are in Christ, then you are truly blessed. You know, the psalmist said at the end of the 73rd Psalm, the nearness of God is my good. You know what the psalmist is saying? Worldly circumstances, what happens from day to day, the difficulties in life, that has nothing to do with the nearness of my God. That's the one thing that matters. And so, whether things are going well or whether things are not going well, the nearness of God is my good, and I will continue to bless the name of the Lord. You know, Black Friday is past. Can you imagine the darkness that came over the world when the Creator of the universe was hung and crucified and humiliated on, of all things, a Roman cross? And can you imagine the gloom that hung over the earth in the days after that happened? Can you imagine the disciples confused, afraid, hiding? And then what happens Sunday morning? The sun comes up. The sun comes out of the grave. And He brings light and life to all those who come to Him. The reason He did that is because God loves you. You are precious to God. He gave the very best and He sacrificed the most that He could sacrifice for you in order to provide a way for you to come to Him. And if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you believe that He rose from the grave and you're ready to let Him rule your life, then you're ready to come up here and be baptized. He'll wash away all of your sins and you will no longer be separated from God. You will be one of His precious children. And if you have not done that, then you have the opportunity, and I'll invite you to do that in just a moment this morning. But if you've already done that, then keep responding to God in worship, in service, and in blessing His name. We have more to be joyful about than we do to be sad about. And don't let Satan blind you to all the good things that God has done for you. So if you haven't done it, spend time today and this week thinking about how God has blessed you. Share it with your family members. Share it with the brethren. Share it with your friends. And remember that we as Christians are not one to go around complaining all the time. There's a lot of things that we complain about, but we're not one to go around complaining all the time or wringing our hands or worrying or doing those sorts of things. Doesn't mean that we're complacent. I mean, we stand up and do what we can in the name of Christ for other people. It's like the song says, I can't feel at home in this world anymore, right? We know that God has given something much better for us, and we have a lot to look forward to, and that our time on this earth is but a drop in the bucket. So keep all these things in mind as we get ready to sing the invitation song. And if you need to respond to the Lord in some way this morning, I'm going to invite you to come up here to the front as we stand and sing. And so please come as we stand and sing.